Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labor MP Andrew Little.
This week with the new Health Minister Andrew Little, I asked him about the cannabis referendums, his priorities for the health portfolio for the next 3 years, as new revelations by the Radio New Zealand podcast The Service that the SIS raided the Iranian embassy as well as the Indian High Commission and spied on New Zealand citizens throughout the Cold War. But I began by asking the minister on his thoughts on the new cabinet.
I think it's an amazing lineup. I think Jacinda Ardern's done an amazing job. Look, there were some obvious vacancies because New Zealand First Ministers weren't returned, and you know, she had to think about the 2017 intake of MPs and another new talent coming in. So Dr. Aish Verrill, for example, coming in straight from brand new MP and into the cabinet, into the full cabinet, is an amazing thing to happen. But she is an incredibly talented person, so thoroughly justified. And then look, when you look at the demographic makeup of the cabinet, in terms of ethnic diversity and what have you, I think it'll go down as one of the great cabinets of our history.
Did you ask for the health portfolio?
Look, the Prime Minister always asks you about various things and raises with you what she would like us to consider, and that was part of the conversation. In the end, you know that when you're being considered as a minister, she's got to put together the team. She's got to find the right strength for the right roles. And I've always said politics is a team sport. You know what your skills and talents are, and you get the Prime Minister to build her team around that, and that's what she's done. So, it's a great challenge. It's always a privilege to serve in Cabinet, and it's a privilege to have the health portfolio. So, I relish the challenge. It's not an area I have a background in, but I think the challenge is get to know that. It's all about relationships, and then getting decisions made and getting policy through, and I think I've proven that I can do that, and I'll just continue that in this portfolio.
There are some major changes in the cabinet for the next term of government, particularly when we have Maori and Pacific people having portfolios such as Foreign Affairs, Defence, Police and Justice. As the outgoing Justice Minister, is that going to see a large shift in policy related to that demographic, considering they are mostly affected by the status quo?
Yeah, I think in terms of some of the more negative measures in each of those areas, the Foreign Affairs aside, it's true, and it's good to have that voice right at the very top of the policy and decision making tree. So that's what that will bring. I think the last term of government we started a lot of things. Got a change program underway, but particularly justice, you don't change that overnight. You've got to move reasonably carefully. That said, there is a degree of urgency. You can't have the level of inequity that we have in those areas and take all the time in the world about it. You do have to get things moving. So I think Chris Farfoy will bring a great voice to it. And when you look at his associates too, Portor and Orpito Williams Hill, Peter was familiar with it, so they will bring great heft to it as well. I think it's fantastic having Manaia Mahuta as Foreign Affairs Minister, and bringing an Indigenous voice to that critical element of our way we relate to the rest of the world. What defines us to the rest of the world? What distinguishes New Zealand to the rest of the world? It's actually our Māori tanga, and she will bring that to it. So I think it's an inspired choice.
As Justice Minister, you said last week, after the preliminary results of the cannabis and euthanasia referendums were announced, that the cannabis legalisation and control bill will not be introduced in Parliament. Let's say, assuming the final results tomorrow will result in a yes vote for the cannabis referendum, is the government going to take the bill again to Parliament?
If there is a yes vote, yes, of course it will. That's what we promised to do. I think the challenge is, given the result, the preliminary result last week, 70% roughly of the remaining votes to be counted would have to be yes votes. That is just highly unlikely, given the margins. And even if there is a high proportion of the special votes voted yes in the referendum, it is highly unlikely to be as high as 70%. Now, you look at the end-of-life choice vote, the preliminary vote, it was about 65% broke yes for that, a very, very clear margin. And now that result won't be overhauled by the specialists, it can't be, but in order for the no vote on cannabis to change, as I say, you've got to get roughly 70% of the remaining votes to be yes, and that is just highly unlikely. In the unlikely event that it does, then, of course, we said we would be bound by the result.
Right. Moving on to your new health portfolio, what do you hope to achieve for the next 3 years in regards to health?
Well, the big challenge is following up on the Simpson report, the big review that was carried out in the last term of government. They reported in July this year. And look, we've always known, health has always been one of those areas where, you know, we make changes, we beat them in, we let it go, and we hope that it makes a difference. We still have huge inequities in the delivery of health services, particularly in rural areas and particularly in deprived communities. You look at the health statistics for Tairāwhiti, you know, East Cape, for example, or Northland, and it is a world different, for example, from Auckland, or, you know, Auckland Central. You look at South Auckland and counties of Manukau. So creating a structure that incentivizes and actually is funded to make sure that we address those inequities, we address those areas of greater disadvantage, that's going to be the challenge. And getting the culture change and the behaviour change within the system is going to be the challenge. Reading the reports I've read and the few conversations I've had with people, the overwhelming thing I would say that characterises the health system at the moment is, throughout the system, a lack of sense that people are part of a nationwide system that has to achieve multiple objectives. Everybody sort of looks after the area, a little patch, but there's not this kind of sense of an integrated whole, and I think that's where we have to kind of change.
Right, and following up on that, there has been a lot of talk about making dental care more accessible during the election campaign by most parties. How quick could we see changes on that, especially when you said you want to follow up on the Simpson report?
That specific area of dental care, we know that there's been a huge gap in our kind of public health care provision. And so there's a lot of, and I think we all now, there's a wide-scale consensus, everybody agrees that we really have to do something about this. Health care, oral health care, dental health care, makes a huge difference. If your teeth aren't good, your mouth isn't good, that's the first part of your digestive system, right? So it actually makes a huge difference to overall health and well-being. Getting a platform up that allows us to do something meaningful will take some time in terms of policy, in terms of finding the funding for it, in terms of working out, you know, where is a good starting point in terms of what we can do and where that might get to. So look, it will be on the agenda, but it won't be something that we could do, you know, in short order.
Would drug testing at music festivals be on the agenda as well, considering it was blocked by New Zealand First at the last term of government?
Yeah, we're very keen to do that. But we made some changes to the Misuse of Drugs Act that we thought should assist in that. I know that as a general policy view, New Zealand First wasn't in favour of it. But we just see that as a safety issue, regardless of, you know, the substance that people might consume and its status. We want people to be safe, and it just makes sense to make that sort of service available at festivals and things, so we are keen to move on that.
I might just go to back on the cannabis issue. Now, the government has definitely ruled out decriminalising cannabis, but now, considering the government last term has said they want to treat drug law reform as a health issue, is there going to be any extra work done on this?
Well, we did some work in the last term on the Misuse of Drugs Act, and we'll continue to work on that and refine that. I think the political question is, having signed up to a referendum that called for legalisation and liberalisation of cannabis, and that referendum, at least on a preliminary vote, being voted down by, you know, a material and significant margin, I think it would be politically wrong to then say, you know what, we didn't get that, so we're just going to do something else that looks a bit like, you know, legalisation, or at least as a halfway house to legalisation. I think politically that's untenable. I think there's another more substantive reason, and that is that decriminalisation, and the way that I think most people understand it, which is those who are users of the substance of cannabis, don't have a criminal response to them using it. That's all very well, but actually what decriminalisation doesn't do is deal with other very serious social harms, such as access by young people at way too young an age. It doesn't deal with the issue of the substances that are available, you know, the stuff that is on the black market, its quality and its potency. And that's a health hazard to young and old who are users. And it doesn't deal with the social harm of the fact that most of the suppliers of cannabis are gangs and part of the criminal element. And that's a social harm too. Decriminalisation just doesn't deal with any of that stuff. So I think politically, because we signed up to a referendum that led to a no result, but also because decriminalisation actually leaves too many harms in place, I'm in no hurry to look at that as now an alternative.
Right. But what about those who need medicinal cannabis, considering medicinal cannabis, the prices of medicinal cannabis is quite expensive? Would the government look to make it more accessible in the future?
Well, we'll see how the medicinal cannabis regime that we've legislated for already, let's see how that goes. I mean, I know that one of the dangers there is that the products that will become available, will, you know, there'll be a price to them, and that price will be out of reach of some people. Let's see how that goes. But at that point, not any further sort of liberalisation in the way, you know, people might have expected to see had there been this.
My final question for today is about the intelligence agencies. Now, very recently, Radio New Zealand's The Service podcast has mentioned the intelligence agencies were involved in even more raids of embassies and even keeping track on our own citizens. Do you think there should be more transparency with regards to the historical operations of our intelligence agencies?
Well, in terms of, I think, the claims made about a particular New Zealander who had an SOS file, I mean, that came because the family of that New Zealander applied for the information and got it. So there is that level of transparency. And yes, it is, you know, many, many years later. But the nature of security and intelligence work is that it is undercover for a reason, because you don't want those, you know, who might cause us harm necessarily knowing what is happening, or that they're being monitored and what have you. I mean, right now, I know the legal framework, for example, for our agencies to monitor somebody, to put somebody under surveillance, and it's a very high threshold. They've got to have, you know, a reason to do so. They've got to satisfy both myself and the Commissioner of Warrants, who's a retired High Court judge, that it is justified in doing so. You know, knowing how intrusive their powers are, then they've got to have a very good reason to exercise those powers. And those powers are then further reviewed by the Inspector General of Intelligence and Security. So these are not steps taken lightly, but the reality is there are people, both within New Zealand and outside of it, who would cause us harm, and it is natural that we have in place the means to keep track of that.
That was Labor MP Andrew Little. The Wire.